It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice, big, deep breath, buddy.
With your host...
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:02 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to a special... No Bills Sunday / Chase kickoff edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening as always. Yes, since the Bills played Thursday, I get to be on the air on Sunday as we are back just after a week hiatus thanks to the Bills schedule, but here we are. For those of you expecting football coverage, I apologize, but stay tuned. We've got a triple header of NFL games here on WGR today starting at 1 o'clock. For those of you not familiar with the program, again, my name is Dave Buchanan. This show is all about motorsports, whether it's NASCAR, IndyCar, drag racing, local tracks in the area. We always talk about it Sundays when it's not Bills season here on WGR from 11 a.m. to 12 noon. And since, again, the Bills played Thursday, Sunday this little time slot was open, so my boss was nice enough to open it up and let me come back on the air here as we get ready to kick off the playoffs in the NASCAR Spring Cup Series and kind of kick off the playoffs, too, in the local racing tracks, too, as we've got some big end-of-season races here just getting going through these weeks here in September. Phone lines open at 803-0550. That's 803-0550. The toll-free number is 1-888-552-550. First segment here is wide open, in fact. If you want to get a call in, now it would be your most optimal time to do so. Be sure to join us here this morning, 803-0550. This really wasn't where I was planning to do the show from. I was anticipating having to do this show live from Oswego Speedway, actually, and I was prepared for it. I even had the fancy broadcasting equipment that allowed me to do this show from Watkins Glen 2 weeks ago. We were going to do it at Oswego this weekend because I was going to be there all weekend for race, the Race of Champions at Oswego, and I anticipated, looking at the weather forecast, that Saturday's racing was going to get rained out and we'd be racing on Sunday, so I'd have to do the show live from Oswego. Things didn't go exactly as planned. There was some rain, but racing got moved to a different weekend, so here I am. I am in studio to join you here for the next hour. To talk about all things racing. Coming up on today's program, one guest for you this morning. It's going to be at the bottom of the hour. Parker Kligerman from NBC Sports and NASCAR Camperwell Truck Series driver and former Xfinity Series driver. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk more about the chase with PK at about 11:35. As the chase kicks off, and my monitor just went dark, which is going to make things even more difficult to do this show. Because I moved it the wrong way, and I think it unplugged itself. So we're off to a flying start. But the chase kicks off today at the Chicagoland Speedway, 2:30 for today's chase kickoff race. And qualifying was rained out already this weekend at the Chicagoland Speedway. So the field set by owner points. So that means Kyle Busch starting on the pole for today's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 400. How about that for a race name? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 400. If you haven't seen the trophy, I tweeted it out earlier this weekend. Check out my Twitter feed at FastTrack550. The trophy is even the Ninja Turtles. They've gone all out with this promotion. It's a really fun deal that Chicagoland Speedway's done with the folks at Nickelodeon and Viacom. They used to do the SpongeBob SquarePants 400, I think that was what it used to be, but this year it's the Ninja Turtles, and even some of the cars in the field have Ninja Turtle paint schemes, and then the big trophy is all about Ninja Turtles. So if you like Ninja Turtles, there's even more additional reason to watch the race today. But Kyle Busch will be on the pole. Brad Keselowski will join him on the front row. Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick in row two. Carl Edwards and Martin Truex will be in row three. Matt Kenseth, Jimmy Johnson, row four. Joey Logano, Kyle Larson round out your top 10 starters today as actually the field set with all the chase guys at the front of the field because it is the chase owner points. So all your chase drivers will be starting right inside the top 16 for today's race. So that's it'll be interesting right off the bat with all 16 drivers right up at the front of the field when we go green here today. So outside of the top 10, you've got Tony Stewart, Kurt Busch, Chris Buescher, who is, don't forget, in the chase, Chase Elliott, Austin Dillon, and Jamie McMurray, with those last three drivers being the three drivers that don't have wins in the chase. So they are at the bottom of the chase grid because they don't have those win bonus points to put them near the top. So that's why Elliott, Dillon, and McMurray start 14th, 15th, and 16th today. And then you look at the guy starting 17th, Alex Bowman starting 17th today. So don't forget, no Dale Jr. in today's race. Dale Jr. again will miss the remainder of the season because of the ongoing concussion issues. And Alex Bowman and Jeff Gordon are going to kind of split up the 88, the remaining races of the season. The bulk of the starts will go to Bowman. You'll see Jeff Gordon at Martinsville, and I can't remember now the other dates that Gordon's going to fill in, but I think the majority of these chase races, you'll see Bowman in the 88 car, but the 88 team is the highest in the owner points, not in the chase, so that's why he starts 17th today. But the chase is this current format of the chase, the elimination style, where we go from the round to the 16, and then we have three races, and they cut it to 12, and cut it to 8, and cut it to 4. Has been these last two seasons we've gotten very unexpected results, or we've seen some really unexpected things happen because it's taken a couple of years for teams and drivers to really get a good strategy, and even now, you know, I don't know if teams really know, certain teams might not know how to attack the chase. You know, it's not like running for a full season championship where you can concentrate more on points versus wins. In this system, you can either concentrate on winning a race and just winning and advancing, or you can concentrate on being consistent enough to advance to the next round. And so you've got all out of these 16 teams, you've probably got different teams on different strategies, but something about the pressure that this format has brought makes drivers crazy. And I love it and I hate it at the same time. I love it because it forces these guys to race harder than they probably would had without a chase format. I mean, you look at what happened last weekend at Richmond in the end of the race, and you know, guys just going 3 and 4 wide, and you can tell that, maybe not panicking is the word, but the way they drove so hard to the front of the field, you just don't see it. I mean, they're trying all 36 races of the year, but you can tell at certain times of the races or in certain races, they try a little bit harder, or they do things that they normally wouldn't do, say at a mile and a half track in the middle of the season, in the middle of the regular season. The drivers drive differently when it comes to the chase, and or if they're trying to make the chase at the end of the regular season, they do drive different. They still are giving 100%. I don't think it's a matter of them not giving 100%, but they will be more aggressive behind the wheel, knowing if they need to get to a certain spot to earn enough points to, whether it's to advance to the chase or advance to the next round, or if they need to win to advance. Drivers drive a heck of a lot different, and the intensity ratchets up tenfold, and it's exciting, and it also can make you crazy at the same time, because then you get things like last year with Matt Kenseth and Joey Logano, and that I'm trying to use a word that's not offensive, but just that crap show we had last year with Kenseth dumping Logano at Martinsville last year, or you have the race at the Texas incident when with Gordon and Keselowski and Kevin Harvick, you know, and that scuffle on pit road, or you've got Kenseth going after Keselowski between the trailers at Charlotte 2 years ago, and it looked like they filmed it like a vignette for Monday Night Raw, because it was this weird behind the scenes thing where they cut to Keselowski walking between the two haulers, and then Kenseth just swoops in from behind the camera and tackles Keselowski, and it looked like some backstage brawl you'd see on Monday Night Raw. And it just, not that they're being fake about it, Kenseth was genuinely pissed off, but it just, it's not racing, you know, it looks like pro wrestling, and that can, for some people love that drama. That's maybe part of the reason why they watch the sport. For someone like me, I get really turned off about it when stupid things like that happen. I get these guys are passionate, and you know, I do like the drama some of the time, but when it breaks down into just these brawls and shenanigans like that, I just don't really enjoy it. I think it takes away from the sport. But it's something about this chase that just drives these guys crazy, because they have to go so hard, at least if not for every race, they've got to go hard and harder than normal until they know that they're going to advance to the next round, and they want to, you know, get that win or stay up in the points and move on to the next round of the chase. And it's just unbelievable what it has done to these drivers. It seriously makes them crazy. When you look at the chase, and I kind of mentioned when we did the season finale a couple weeks ago at Watkins Glen, I kind of made my four picks for the chase, and I'm going to review them here in just a second. But if you've got your chase picks, I'd love to hear them here at 803-0551. 888-550-2550. You know, which four drivers are you kind of targeting that you think will advance to the championship foursome at Homestead? I usually do really badly when I make these picks. I've tried to pick it the last 2 years, and I think I've gotten maybe one right each of the 4 years. I mean, the first year we had, you know, just that wild Final Four with, you know, just with Hamlin and and then Ryan Newman made it in Logano, and why am I Harvick? Duh. I was trying to think of the fourth guy. I knew it was the guy that won the championship. And Harvick, you know, Harvick was the obvious pick, but the other three were kind of, they came out of nowhere. Hamlin had missed part of the season with an injury. Logano still hadn't really reached, you know, that next pinnacle level, which I think he broke through the following year when he won the Daytona 500. So he was still kind of an underdog, dark horse. And then nobody thought Newman was going to make it all the way to the Final Four, because Ryan's a good driver, but you know, he's not in one of the top teams in the sport. He's with Richard Childress, which is just kind of a step below those level 1A teams. So that was kind of a surprise that he had made the Final Four the first year of the chase. So it always seems like you can make all the picks you want, but there's always going to be somebody that winds up in that foursome this year, and it's just going to kind of, people are going to get there, and it's gonna like, how did that guy get there? So I don't know who that guy this year, you know, it might be Chase Elliott. He might be that guy that makes the Final Four that really blows everybody away. Chase, you know, still doesn't have a win here in his rookie season, but he's the only, he's not the only rookie. I take that back. Chris Buescher also is a rookie. But, you know, between him and Ryan Blaney, you know, those were the big two names of the rookie class this year. And Elliott made the chase this year, only one of two Hendrick drivers to make the chase this year, along with Jimmy Johnson. You know, Casey Kane didn't make it, and then Dale Jr. had his injury issues that kept him from trying to make the chase this year. So Chase is started off strong. The performance kind of tailed off slightly, you know, in the second half of the regular season, but he is in the chase without a win. But I think that could be, you know, that dark horse name that somehow either Chase starts winning some races for the first time in his career, which could happen, or, you know, he just somehow starts pointing his way into these next rounds. He advances to the top 12, advances to the top 8, and then somehow garners enough points and is able to sneak into that fourth spot, especially if he's like that fourth guy going to the Final Four while the other three won a race to get in. You know, he's like the top driver out of the remaining drivers that don't have that didn't get a win, that he somehow points his way in through each round. That will be a remarkable feat. So I think Elliott is kind of that guy that could be the spoiler this year. He's kind of the wild card driver in the chase, but not in my four picks. I'm still kind of going with what I said 2 weeks ago when we did the last show of the year at Watkins Glen, our last regular show of the year. And that is, of course, I'm going with Carl Edwards and Joey Logano, Kevin Harvick, and Kyle Busch is going to have Denny Hamlin was the other name I said. Not Kyle Busch, but Hamlin, Edwards, Logano, and Harvick are my final four picks. And I still think that it's going to be Carl Edwards. I know he has not been the dominant driver. Well, he's had a good year. He's won some races, but this season has been about Kyle Busch and Busch and Hamlin. Just but for the Joe Gibbs drivers, for as much success as all four of those drivers have had this year, it's been kind of Busch and Hamlin that have kind of been I guess the lead dogs of the bunch. I still think Edwards, ever since coming out of Charlotte last year, once he signed on with this 19 team, something clicked over there and they took off. If you look at the stats from last season, his results after the 600 last year in May, they were an amazing, consistent team. And this year, it's been another year where he has just been consistently good and right there and maybe not making a lot of noise while doing it. Edwards has done it right. For as good as Harvick has been at that this year, I just think that Edwards will somehow find a way. Whereas Harvick, he won the championship 2 years ago, but this year they've had the issues with the pit crew once again. And it just seems like Harvick is one of those guys where just some days he can just have a bad day. And I think in the end, those bad days might catch up to him in the end. And it's hard to pick against Truex too. And I got a tweet here just mentioning Truex actually. It's hard to not pick Truex as much as I think he's having a phenomenal year. That team is even better this year than they were last year. As good as the year they had last year, now they've hooked up with the Gibbs operation this year. I mean, look at Martin Truex Jr.'s season. He is a couple thousands of a second away from having won the Daytona 500, the Coke 600, and the Southern 500 all in the same year. The three biggest races outside of maybe the Brickyard 400, Truex could have won all three. He just, he lost the 500 by centimeters over Hamlin, but had that race gone that way, just think about that, that Truex could have won all three of those huge tentpole races on the schedule in 1 year. Just shows how well how great that team is. And when they have good days and when they win races, they're just bloody dominant and no one can touch them. But they also still have days, especially earlier in the year, when they are dominant. And so for some reason or another, whether it's through their own fault, a bad call by Cole Pearn, or just, a late caution comes up and maybe they stay out and some other guys pit and go by them, they've had those days too. And again, when you have days like that, you can't have days like that in the last 10 races of the year. And that also, I think, might keep Martin Truex from advancing to the Final Four. He could get to maybe the round of eight this year. But again, for as dominant as they can be, just some days don't go their way. And they have a penchant for that as well, too, which is why I'm keeping Truex in my Final Four. So I'm going with, again, Edwards, Hamlin, Logano, and Harvick. And I think Carl Edwards is going to be your champion. And Carl knows how to, he's handled stressful situations before. Don't forget, back in 2011, that last race at Homestead, going for the championship against Stewart. And, in the end, they tied for the championship. But Tony won it on the tiebreaker, of course. Carl knows how to deal with pressure. And I think he'll be doing some backflips at Homestead. That'll be my Chase pick. Again, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. The big story of the week, there's been a lot of talk, really, in the last couple of weeks about penalties and infractions, especially with this laser inspection system that NASCAR has now that they've implemented here the last year or two, with teams being outside of the parameters set when they take the car to the laser inspection, whether it's pre or post race, especially post race now, and they're out of the parameters and they're getting dinged for penalties. And we're seeing that almost now on a weekly basis, especially the guys that win the race, which, if in other forms of motorsports, on the local level, if the winner is illegal, he's DQ'd and is declared not the winner. Well, obviously that doesn't happen in NASCAR. If the winner is found illegal in some way, there is just a penalty. And with the post race inspection, it is not all if they're off by point, you know, 000 millimeters, you know, how much really would have that enhanced their performance? You know, if they had been that 0.000 whatever in line and been legal, you know, how much is that really giving them an advantage? So I get why, you know, you can't toss a guy from winning a race for maybe just being off that much, but he's still outside the line. And of course, NASCAR has their tiered penalty systems for based on how severe of an infraction or how severely you are outside of the rules determines how severe your penalty is, whether it's just a fine or whether it's lack of practice time or crew chief suspensions, points fines, even driver suspensions, which we haven't seen got that far. Well, this week, NASCAR kind of tightened up those penalties and now for really egregious violations of not only the laser inspection rule, but also that whole lug nut rule thing that has been a topic of discussion this year, how we've had to go from, you know, at the start of the year, you didn't have to have any, you know, as long as the tire didn't fall off, you were fine. You could have 2-3 lug nuts on there. If the tire didn't fall off, you'd be fine. And then we had, you know, Tony Stewart making his comments, and then NASCAR did the 180, and they said, all right, you got to have all the lug nuts on. You know, no excuses. If you're missing a lug nut, your crew chief is suspended. Well, NASCAR kind of took a step back from that. No longer will a crew chief get suspended for one missing lug nut. However, if they are missing, I think it's 2 or 3, it definitely at least 3, if not more, then you are going to get what is called an encumbered finish. And this is also if you are so far outside of the parameters in the laser inspection during post-race, there will be now what is called an encumbered finish, where basically you will still get credit for the win here in the chase. However, NASCAR can say, that's great, you won the race, here's the money, here's the points, but you are not getting to move on to the next round of the chase. Because remember, a win is an automatic ticket to the next round of the chase. Whoever wins today, they're set for the round of 12 already in the chase. Well, NASCAR has updated the rules saying now, if you have only 17 lug nuts or tight lug nuts on the car at the end of the race, or if your car is a little out, if too much out of askew in the rear end, we're not letting you advance the chase. You're going to still have to make the chase on points with, because that win's not going to give you an automatic advance to the next round. So they tightened it up. It's kind of an interesting twist. I like it because, especially when it comes to the laser inspection, the lug nut stuff, I think is, you know, I've done with that. You know, they keep changing the lug nut stuff as long as the tire doesn't fall off, you're fine. But with the laser inspection, the reason why I'm glad they did this is because I understand during a race, cars get damaged and, you know, things can get bumped out of position. But what I don't like is that teams apparently design parts on these cars to do that during the race to help the performance. That if a driver scrapes the wall, you know, maybe even on purpose, that a certain piece or part in the car will break or, you know, cave in a little and allow the body to get tweaked that much to help the aerodynamic performance. So when they're trying to cheat on purpose, that's why I'm glad they've done this. You know, it's like the guys doing the burnouts post-race, the winners, you know, when they spin the tires so hard, they blow up and then they shred and they tear up the back end of the race car. I'm not saying every time a guy does that, they're trying to do that because they're trying to break something so they can pass tech, but there is that hint to that now, and you hear that every time now that a driver does that oh, he must be trying to mess up the bodywork so they can't find him, you know, illegal in post-race tech. So I am glad that, you know, they've kind of thrown this in, that now a win is still a win, except that you can't advance to the chase if you're outside. And again, this has to be a real egregious violation. It's not for the guy that's 0.000. I believe, and I apologize for not having the chart in front of me, I was scrambling to find it before the show, but I think it's something like 0.59 to point, you know, anything over 0.59, whatever millimeters or centimeters outside of the when it comes to the rear skew of the race car, that's when you get that encumbered finish, and you'll hear that phrase a lot probably over the next 10 weeks. So I'm glad they did that for the teams that purposely designed their cars to break on purpose in order to make them perform better. I mean, you see it a lot this year. You see the guys on the cool down lap, they swerve the car back and forth like they're trying to keep the heat in the tires under caution, but the race is over, so why are they doing it? And I'm not Mr. Black Helicopter when it comes to NASCAR. I don't think everything in the sport is fixed or everybody's cheating, but, you know, why are they doing that? There must be something in those cars that they're trying to get by the inspectors post race if they need to do that, because it seems to happen on a regular basis this year, and you didn't see it in the past. So there is my I'm Mr. Black and White when it comes to the rules. I'm not much for gray areas when it comes to the rules. You're either cheating or you're not. So that has always been my stance. 803-0550. We're going to head to a break, though. When we come back, Parker Kligerman is going to join us, but you can still get your phone calls in, too, on your Chase picks. And we'll be back with more of this special Chase Kickoff Edition / No Bill Sunday of Fast Track here on WGR. /11:33 here on WGR, Sports Radio 550. Dave Buchanan and this special No Bill Sunday / Sprint Cup Chase Kickoff Edition of WGR's Fast Track. Bills will be back next Sunday, of course, at home hosting the Arizona Cardinals. I'm looking forward to today, though, too. I mean, I've got NASCAR race to watch, too, but today's the first Sunday I can flip on the old Red Zone channel and just zone out for a little bit, too. The Red Zone channel is the greatest invention ever. I don't have the television provider that has the Sunday ticket, but Red Zone channel is the next best thing. And the best part about it is no commercials. I think you could just lock on and just it's just there for 7.5 hours. It is, you know, Brayton, you know what I'm talking about, the Red Zone channel, right?
Oh yeah, at NFL Network.
Yeah, it's great. No commercials. They flip around for you. You just get the action. You don't have to listen to the analysis between plays and all the other stupid things during the broadcast, and it is just great.
It is a neat little feature. It really is.
If I can't get the ticket, this is the next best thing, and maybe better because I don't have to flip around either because they take you to all the good stuff. So I'm looking forward to that, but I'll also be doing some channel flipping because, you know, the Chase race is on at 2:30. Also, I guess I'll have to do some more channel flipping today because today is also the final race of the season for the Verizon IndyCar Series, which, of course, was at Watkins Glen 2 weeks ago. Scott Dixon picked up the win at the Glen 2 weeks ago in dominating fashion, and really no surprise, but is third in the championship standings, 104 points out, and really will need some help today as Simon Pagenaud and Will Power are ahead of him in the standings, and Pagenaud comes into today's race with a 43-point lead over his teammate Will Power at Sonoma, but it will be Pagenaud on the pole today. Elio Castroneves will be in row one with him. Juan Pablo Montoya, Will Power in row two. Graham Rahal, Ryan Hunter Ray in row three. Scott Dixon starts seventh, and Alexander Rossi, Sebastian Bourdais, and Joseph Newgarden round out the top 10 starters. But even with, I believe it's double points on the line today at Sonoma, I really think Pagenaud is going to kind of tie this one up and pick up his first career championship and another championship for Team Penske. And man, I missed it here. The qualifying performance, all top four drivers are Penske cars. So they are loaded to do some damage today. And I think Pagenaud will be your series champion come the end of the day. And one other interesting note about today's IndyCar race, today will be the final race that Chip Ganassi Racing will be sponsored by Target in the IndyCar series. The Target is leaving the IndyCar program. They're still going to be part of Ganassi's Sprint Cup operation with Kyle Larson for next year, and might be a good idea to stick around. But they will not be on the IndyCar Scott Dixon starting next year. So that is a kind of a sad thing. Target and Chip Ganassi have gone a long time back in the IndyCar days, then kind of joined him in the NASCAR operation about, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. But they've been with Ganassi's IndyCar ride for a long time. And so it's sad to see a sponsor go. I thought it was interesting, though. I was, of course, at Watkins Glen. So I was down in Victory Lane, and they were kind of they have like a public address announcer that interviews the top three before they do the podium pictures. And one of the phone calls that I'm assuming Chip Ganassi made, but Scott Dixon also talked to on the phone in Victory Lane, was a former Target executive. So you can see that there's been some changes at the corporate level, which is probably why this kind of sponsorship deal is ending for Target. And I'm assuming the executives that really like auto racing, and that's why Target invested so many dollars into it over the years. You know, if those people don't work there anymore, you know, it happens. I've seen it locally, even where executives and companies have changed, and they've cut back their motorsports marketing dollars because of it. But that is the nature of the beast. Let's go to the AT&T hotline right now, though. We made him wait and hold him long enough. I apologize. Joining us from NBC Sports, also a driver in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, Parker Kligerman is on the line. PK, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning. Great to talk to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. You are a great member of the NBC Sports program with their NASCAR coverage, and today at 2:30 it's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 400 from the Chicago Speedway. And just give us your thoughts here, Parker, as we kick off the 2016 edition of the Chase.
Well, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. We're heading to Chicago, and it's going to be pressure packed. I think this is going to be probably one of the most competitive chases we've ever seen. You know, I think if you listen to a lot of the drivers, teams, you know, this is the third time we're going to enter in with this format, this elimination format. I think they're starting to understand some of the strategies to it. And because of that, you know, these teams are more prepared than ever, so it's going to be more competitive than ever. But, you know, with that comes a lot more pressure. So I think we're in for an exciting time, and who doesn't love, you know, this chase format right now that just puts so much emphasis on each and every race because you just can't afford one bad race.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, then you have to go win. So it's just an incredible format, and I think, you know, we're in for a really exciting show.
Well, I'm glad we have you on this morning because as a driver, you can kind of help me figure this out, or if you can let me know if I got this right. But it seems like, in my opinion, watching these first 2 years of this elimination style chase, that it makes the drivers crazy. I mean, you look at the incidents we've had here in the last couple of years, the thing at Texas with Brad and Jeff and Harvick, Keselowski and Kenseth at Charlotte, and then Joey and Kenseth last year at Martinsville and Kansas and everything. Would you agree as a driver that this format, the pressure of it, just kind of does something to these drivers, and the simplest thing can tweak these guys and they go nuts?
Well, and I think it just comes down, you know, the pressure. It's the idea that your whole season, your whole everything you've worked for all year can be defined or vindicated in one race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's where it really comes from. It's just, it puts an incredible amount of emphasis. But, and let me say that, you know, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series is by far one of the most competitive racing series in the world.
Yep.
And when you have, not only you have 39 other competitors that you have to beat week in, week out that are some of the best in the world, the most highly funded teams in the world, but then also you get to a point where now to race for a championship, you're put against some of the 15 best other drivers out there once you made the chase, and you're racing the other drivers that are in the series, and then you come down to where it's three races at a time or even one race at a time that's going to make or break your season, a championship that can define your career. I think it's just incredible pressure and incredibly competitive, and that's why we see some of the emotions come out that we do.
Lots of big names, of course, in this year's chase, and the field will eventually get pared down to four, Parker. Who are some of the guys you're looking at as kind of the favorites that you might have filled on your chase grid that you think will make the final four when we get to Homestead in a couple of months?
Ooh, that was tough. You know, as I said, how competitive it is. It was incredibly hard to even just choose the chase kid. We did it last week on NASCAR America on NBCSN, and the funny thing was, in the first round, you had to knock out someone really good, and I actually knocked out Jimmy Johnson. I have him getting out the first round, but my final four came down to the two drivers I'm really watching, which is Denny Hamlin in the 11, Joe Logano in the 22. I just, you know, there's a lot of things I've been seeing in the average green flag speed, average running position for that 22 car that makes me very positive for their chase hopes. The 11, obviously, anyone from Joe Gibbs Racing right now or in a Toyota is absolutely, you know, going to have a chance at making the final four.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Truex Jr. in there, and then, of course, Kevin Harvick. Kevin Harvick has been, bar none, the best car that is in a Toyota this whole season, so there's no reason to think he won't make it to the final four. And then I have Joe Logano win the championship. So I think, you know, sometimes you got to lose a championship to win one.
Mm-hmm.
Joey obviously experienced that last year, and I think that, you know, this is his year to kind of sneak up on it instead of being so blatantly fast like he was last year. Todd Gordon and that team are really, really focused and showing, you know, some good numbers, although it doesn't show up in the results yet, that could really sneak up on the competition and win this championship.
Our final fours were almost identical. I had Edwards instead of Truex, but I also had Logano, Hamlin, and Harvick as my other three chased finalists once we get to Homestead. Harvick, the four team, they have just been lights out ever since this team was created and Roddy Childers and Kevin Harvick got together. I mean, they won the title in 2014, 2015. They had a phenomenal year, though it didn't come through at the end. Just from your perspective, just can you believe how good they are week in and week out? All the second place finishes, all the wins, all the top fives. I mean, this is going on almost 3 years of this level of performance, and you don't see a driver perform on this level that long that often.
No, it has been incredible. I think a lot of people suspected it from what we saw out of Kevin in that 29 car RCR before he went to the four. You know, one thing that was really incredible about what Kevin Harvick was achieving over RCR was that you saw a lot of his teammates weren't achieving the same season-ending results. They weren't, you know, fighting for championships and race wins like he was. And you had this feeling, a lot like I felt like with Carl Edwards, that he was an A-level driver taking maybe a B-plus car and giving it A-level performances.
Sure.
And then you take him and you put him in a equipment that's absolutely A-plus level with a crew chief like Ronnie Childers, who's bar none one of the best crew chiefs in the game right now. And you combine all those things together, you're going to get A-plus driver and A-plus car, and you're going to get A-plus performance. And that's what we're seeing right now. And I just think, until they find them, or until they seem to, have a mishap or something, we're going to continue to see this car be one of the fastest in the series week in, week out.
Well, you gave us your final four, but who's someone that could play a spoiler, Parker? I think that person might be Chase Elliott. I know as for good as he's been in his rookie year, that's going to be my surprise name to maybe make the final four. Who is someone that you're looking at that might, could shock the world and kind of be like Ryan Newman a couple of years ago and make it to Homestead?
Well, you mentioned teammate that I'm going to actually say, and that's Austin Dillon.
Yeah.
The 31 cars was able to point his way to the final four. And I think that although the three car hasn't won a race this year, he's been close. I think that Austin Dillon, Slugger Labby have had a very good performance this season. They've been around an 8th, 9th place car all year. I think that bodes really well, at least for making it through the first round. If they have I think he's a confident super speedway racer. So for the second round, he's going to be able to get his way through Talladega. And then the hardest one for him will be the third round. But if you want to have a dark horse, I'd say that three car would be a good one.
Parker Kligerman from NBC Sports joining us. Parker, thanks for the time. Real quick, where can we see you, A, on TV next, and B, when can we see you on the racetrack next?
You can always catch me on NASCAR America Monday through Thursday, at 6 p.m. on NBCSN. And then just be sure to tune in to the races, and especially today, 2:30 on NBCSN Chicagoland. It's going to be exciting.
You got any truck races coming up still this season?
Oh, yeah. My bad. I think the next one for me will be Vegas.
Okay.
A couple weeks.
Very good. Parker, thanks for the time this morning. Enjoy the kickoff to the chase, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
All right. Parker Kligerman from NBC Sports. You can catch him on, as he said, NASCAR America on NBC, and you can also see him in the Camping World Truck Series. He's got 10 starts under his belt. Actually, Parker had a really good start to the year, and unfortunately, had some sponsor troubles and couldn't keep the ride full time, but he was leading the points, I think, like first couple of weeks into the Truck Series season. Speaking of the Truck Series, next weekend at New Hampshire, our buddy Stuart Friesen will be making his second career start on pavement, third career start overall in the Truck Series this coming weekend at New Hampshire for the Hallmark International team. So if you're looking to find the truck race next weekend, keep an eye on the 16 truck and our buddy Stuart Friesen. Speaking of local racers, we'll talk more about them in the final segment here, our traditional local racing roundup, and kind of give you a preview, some big racing still to come here in Western New York and Southern Ontario today and even in the weeks to come. So we'll kind of run down that and recap some results and wring out some wet clothes because there's some rain this weekend when we wrap up this special edition of Fast Track next here on WGR.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
I guess we could call this the local racing rain-up because we're talking more about weather cancellations and such. But there was some racing on Friday. Lancaster National Dragway. Wayne Cleveland picked up the win in top 8. Jerry Manzi in top ET. Lou Hyde in mod ET. Ryan Rickettson in the Gasser Racing Series mod division. Barry Lingle in the Gasser Racing Series Gassers. Rob Brandell in Sleds and Bikes. And John Cira Jr. picked up the win in street ET. The drag racing program at Lancaster wraps up 2 weeks, September 30th. They will have their final event of the 2016 season and crown their track champions. Friday night, Ranceville Speedway, they got the first half of King of the Hill weekend in, but not both halves, as they got rained out on Saturday, and they will make it up this Friday night with the 100 lappers for both the street stocks and the sportsmen. They will be running this Friday, September 23rd. So mark that in your calendars. I don't have who won on Friday. Unfortunately, I had it, and then I deleted it, and now I can't bring it back, so I apologize. Also, Friday night action, Oswego Speedway, Race of Champions weekend, where I was on Friday night. Patrick Emmerling picked up the win in the Sportsman 75 Lapper over teammate Mike Leedy, and Tommy Catalano finished third. Matt Hirschman finished fourth. And Mike Nichols picked up another win in the Superstock portion of Race of Champions weekend. Unfortunately, Saturday postponed by Mother Nature, the events, the feature events, were postponed until October 29th, including the Race of Champions 250. Also, Little Valley Speedway got rained out this weekend as well. So did Ashwiken Speedway. Their big Canadian Sprint Car Nationals that were supposed to run yesterday got rained out. They are racing today at Ashwiken. Like 75 Sprint Car teams registered. It's one of the biggest 360 Sprint Car races in North America. That is today at the Ashwiken Speedway. Also, Humberstone Speedway has their regular racing event of the season tonight, and it's a big one. Their Safecracker 100 for the Dirt Car Sportsman, plus final points for their other weekly divisions. I believe it's like $1,500 to win for the Sportsman tonight at Humberstone Speedway. So that gets going at 6:30. So you got some options if you want to go across the border to see some racing today. A couple of really cool events between Ashwiken and Humberstone. This week is a very busy week for Lancaster Speedway fans. The action starts Thursday night. They've got their season championship night, which was postponed last Saturday for the Sportsman Street Stocks and Four Cylinders. They're going to make it up Thursday at 7 o'clock. It's just $10 to get in. Sportsman Street Stocks, Four Cylinders, Three Division, 7 o'clock. Bing, bang, boom. Hopefully out of there at a decent time. And then the next day kicks off U.S. Open weekend, which is, you know, the big end of year weekend at Lancaster Speedway. Friday is practice plus the U.S. Open kickoff party. Saturday is headlined by the Sportsman 75 Lapper. That should be an awesome race. It always is. Great turnout of teams. Plus the Super Stocks, which should be wide open too because the rules are opened up for the different tire compounds for the two Super Stock series, plus TQ Midgets and Four Cylinders. Sunday, 2 o'clock, the U.S. Open 125 for the Race of Champions Modified Series. Street Stock 35 Lapper, that should be fun because there's been a lot of Street Stocks this year. And the Late Models 2 are in action on Sunday. So lots of racing at Lancaster this weekend. By the way, Matt Hirschman is going to be at Lancaster on Sunday. I talked to him at Oswego. I know Matt has been kind of missing in action on the Race of Champions Series this year due to some budget issues, I guess, and some logistics issues with his team. They haven't been able to make as many trips out this way from their home in Pennsylvania that they've liked to. But Matt was at Oswego, of course, this weekend with a Sportsman and a Modified, and he intends on being at Lancaster on Sunday to run the U.S. Open. So we're glad to have Matt coming back to Western New York because he hasn't spent all that much time here. And I know how much Matt loves running all the racetracks in Western New York. That'll do it. Thank you. Bill, don't worry, Bills are back next Sunday, but if there's another opening later on this year, we'll potentially be back. Stay tuned. Follow us on social media at FastTrack550 and Facebook.com/WGRFastTrack. I'm always on those pages. You can always interact with me there, and we'll also keep you updated if we have any more special chase editions of the show to bring you this fall. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you again soon here on WGR. Stay tuned for Football Triple Header.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.